Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
We're going to go live here. Joe Thompson is discussing more fraud. It has started just a moment ago. So let's go live. Here is the assistant U.S. attorney, Joe Thompson.
For pretty extensive international travel, including to London, Sydney, Australia, Istanbul, Turkey, Dubai, and several locations in Saudi Arabia. The second case being announced today is United States versus Kamil Omar Salah, the owner of Safe Lodgings, Inc., another housing stabilization services company. As with the other defendants, Mr. Salah enrolled in the housing stabilization program and began claiming to be providing housing stabilization services to people that were leaving drug and alcohol rehabilitation facilities. Again, he did no such thing. Instead, he just submitted fraudulent claims for services that he never provided. He submitted more than $1.4 million in fraudulent Medicaid claims, which he used to purchase more than $150,000 in cryptocurrency, as well as to fund his lifestyle. We learned recently that Mr. Salah actually fled the United States after his company received a grand jury subpoena for records related to his participation in the Housing Stabilization Services program. The fourth and fifth defendants are charged in United States versus Anthony Waddell Jefferson and Lester Brown. And this case is slightly different. This is an instance of what's essentially fraud tourism. Mr. Jefferson and Brown were residents of Philadelphia who had no connection to Minnesota, except for they heard that Minnesota and its housing stabilization services program was easy money. And so they traveled to Minnesota, enrolled their companies, Chosen Runner LLC and Retzel Real Estate LLC, in the housing stabilization services Medicaid program here in Minnesota. They then returned to Philadelphia and began submitting fraudulent claims to Minnesota Medicaid here, through which they obtained more than $3.5 million in fraudulent Medicaid payments. This fraud tourism is new, although we've heard of it as investigators here. I mean, these defendants came here not to enjoy our lakes, our beautiful summers, or our warm people. They came here because they knew and understood that Minnesota was a place where taxpayer money could be taken with little risk and few consequences. Fortunately, through the hard work of the agents, that we have been able to charge them for their role here. Now, to date, we have charged 13 people for their role in the scheme to defraud the Housing Stabilization Services Program, and that investigation remains very much ongoing. We expect additional charges in the coming weeks and months. I also want to announce some updates in the fraud scheme, or the scheme to defraud the Early Intensive Development and Behavior Intervention for Autism program, another Medicaid program here in the state of Minnesota. Today we unsealed charges against the second defendant charged in the case, Abni Najib Hassan Youssef, who owns Star Autism Center in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Mr. Youssef, like others involved in the autism scheme, paid kickbacks to parents to have their children diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder and enrolled to receive EIDBI services at his autism center. Based on these fraudulent claims for services that were not provided, and in many cases were not needed, he received more than $6 million in Medicaid funds. He used some of those proceeds to purchase a semi-truck for $100,000 And he also sent more than $200,000 to Kenya. Earlier this morning at 10:30, the first defendant charged in the autism fraud scheme, Asha Farah Hassan, pled guilty. As you may recall, Ms. Farah was the owner of Smart Therapy LLC, a Minneapolis-based autism clinic. Through her clinic, she participated in both a scheme to defraud the EIDBI program, as well as a scheme to fraudulently obtain federal child nutrition program funds under the sponsorship of Feeding Our Future. Through these fraud schemes, Ms. Hassan received more than $14 million in Medicaid payments and more than $450,000 in federal child nutrition program funds, of which she sent at least hundreds of thousands of dollars to Kenya, which were used to purchase real estate. Now, this morning, that's the EIDBI program. This morning, we also executed a search warrant related to investigation into another Medicaid program here in Minnesota, a state Medicaid program called Integrated Community Supports, or ICS. ICS was a program that started in 2021 here in the state of Minnesota. It was designed to help people with disabilities live more independently in the community with assistance, with one-on-one help with health issues, safety, and other household tasks to allow them to live in the community as opposed to in an institution. Through this program, providers obtain apartments in which their ICS clients can live. In theory, the providers are supposedly giving daily assistance to those clients to help them live independently in the community. That assistance can include community participation, helping them get out and about in the community, helping them with household management, setting up medical appointments, and issues with household safety and day-to-day safety. In reality, what the investigation has shown is that many ICS providers did no such thing. Instead, they simply obtained apartments or condos, which they rented to people who they got qualified to receive ICS services, people with disabilities that would qualify them to receive ICS services, and then just put them in there and started billing. The ICS program would allow providers to bill hundreds of dollars a day for each ICS client that they had, often more than $100,000 or even $200,000 a year for each ICS client. But in reality, that's not what was happening. Now, this program, like the others, this ICS program saw a similar pattern of explosive growth in recent years. Since beginning in 2021, the first year that Minnesota offered Medicaid coverage for integrated community supports, it has grown from $4.6 million in 2021 to more than $170 million in 2024. And as you can see, the 2025 numbers were through September 30th, but they're on pace for nearly $180 million, despite the efforts to get a handle on the fraud in recent months here in Minnesota. In all, since 2021, Medicaid has paid out more than $400 million to Minnesota providers of ICS support services. Now, this pattern you see on the board is very similar to ones you might be familiar with in these other investigations. You see that explosive, even exponential growth. The Housing Stabilization Services, which also started in 2021, has a similar pattern of growth. It just kept growing and growing and growing each year. And again, this program was estimated to cost $2.5 million a year. But the data from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services show that it costs significantly more than that. And in fact, housing stabilization has cost more than $300 million since 2021. The EIDBI autism program has a similar pattern. It's cost the state more than $1 billion since starting in 2018, or it's cost Medicaid more than $1 billion, and has grown, as you can see, every year significantly larger. And of course, the original scheme that started all this was Feeding Our Future and the Federal Child Nutrition Program, and as you can see here, a similar pattern of explosive growth. I want to talk a little generally about the investigation and the scope. I know there's been a lot of questions recently about the scope of the fraud and the amount lost. The state in recent months has flagged 14 Medicaid programs for as having significant fraud problems. For those 14 programs, which include the Housing Stabilization Services Program and the EIDBI Autism Program, the state's issued a payment suspension for 90 days. They've ordered a third-party audit of all providers in those programs, and they've even canceled the Housing Stabilization Services Program altogether. Now, these services, there are many more. PCA services, adult day services, non-emergency medical transportation. Now, we've been talking for some months about the fraud problem in Minnesota, and I've always believed that if you speak the truth in a plain-spoken way, people can handle it. Minnesotans and taxpayers deserve to know the truth of the fraud. The fraud is not small. It isn't isolated. The magnitude cannot be overstated. What we see in Minnesota is not a handful of bad actors committing crimes. It's a staggering industrial-scale fraud. It's swamping Minnesota and calling into question everything we know about our state. I spoke in the fall about the iceberg I saw ahead. Something's fraud that's much larger than what's been visible to the public. When I said that, it wasn't hyperbole or rhetoric. It was a warning. And today I want to talk and I want to show here a sense of what that iceberg looks like, because I think people deserve to know what that is and how big this problem is, because we can't solve the problem until we grapple with the size of it. So the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services pulled the claims data for these 14 programs dating back to 2018. And those 14 programs in Minnesota have cost $18 billion since 2018 and more than $3.5 billion in 2024 alone. So that's a sense of the magnitude of the problem. These are the 14 Medicaid programs, which is just a part of Medicaid, these waivered services that have been flagged as having issues with program integrity and fraud. Now, I'm sure everyone is wondering how much of this $18 billion was fraud. That's not the million-dollar question. That's the $18 billion question. The answer is far too much, and the task ahead of all of us is not only figuring out how much of that money was fraud, because we know a significant amount was, but figuring out how to put an end to the fraud in our state and get control of it. So let me end with this before I take questions. The magnitude of the fraud in Minnesota cannot be overstated. It's staggering amounts of money that have been lost. But it's not just about the money that's been stolen and wasted. This is a problem that's caused all of us to question what kind of state we live in. I think it's eroded our sense of collective statewide self-esteem and confidence. It's caused a state, as I've said before, that has long taken pride in having a strong economy, good schools, beautiful lakes, many parks, and a sense of community spirit and civic mindedness. This fraud really calls into question all of that. And I know that it's been allowed to go on far too long. And we need to do whatever we can to stop it in its tracks. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to jump in right here because we need to. We're efforting an excellent guest on said topic. Joe Thompson is he's brilliant at this. You've heard him many, many times on the show. This is, let's just quote him, staggering industrial scale of fraud. Questioning what state we live in. Fraud tourism coming here from out of state, from Philly in particular, because it's easy money. Taxpayer money is available, Dave, and there's no consequences. These 14 programs, where there has been, to some level, significant fraud, the amount of money spent since 2018, $18 billion. $3.5 billion last year. And again, the key question I think all of us were asking is, you're listening, not just two of us, but anyone listening. How much of that is fraud?
Mm-hmm.
Too much.
A significant amount is what Joe said.
Yeah. Let's go back to what
figure it out.
Let's go back what he said to us in his last appearance here a couple months ago when Jay Coles from KSDP, good reporter, very good investigative reporter, had mentioned over a million. And he practically chuckled.
Over a billion is what Jay
over
said.
Over a billion, excuse me, over a billion. And when I asked him that, he if you remember, he almost chuckled and chortled and said, a billion?
No.
It's going to be way more than a billion. So if you listen to this show, you know it was going to be way more than a billion. That's why I've said like 50 times repeatedly, oh, it's not a billion. It's a lot more than a billion. But how many billions is it? And how was the structure, let's be clear about this, so bleeping incompetent that it could continue to go on? Of course, those individuals who are committing the acts, there's no defending them. None. They're criminals. But we had a system in this state that this was so wide open that it kept going and going and going. There have to be ramifications and repercussions. And hell yeah, the governor of the state is a part of that conversation indisputably. What do you want to say? 651-461-9226. Enormous news from Joe Thompson, which you heard live right here on CCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
We'll get to the president's speech later. That has to be the music theme today, correct?
We've got shouting and yelling music today.
It's just the continued conversation, okay? By the way, we've had guest after guest after guest after guest after guest after guest after guest. Multiple texts coming. You won't call Walls responsible. He's on your show. He hasn't been on the show for years because they don't like my critical comments about him. He looks for places where it's soft and comfortable, and it's not on this show. I said right away he shouldn't run again. Right away, this is the best chance Republicans have had to win the election since Coleman and Pawlenty won years and years ago for the Senate seat and Pawlenty, obviously, for the gubernatorial seat. I am hoping for someone who's more in the center, and I will vote for them. Because the idea that Tim Walz doesn't bear an enormous part of this responsibility is delusional. And a lot of things he has done lately, he's well behind on the story. Well behind the story. Now, on the governor's race, we'll get a text. Because this is still such a left-leaning state, Dave, let's just go to the KSDP poll. We had Tom on it yesterday. It's 48-48 for Walz. That's down from before, but he won by 7. If the Republicans said, please give me somebody to vote for. If they brought out that buffoon Mike Lindell or someone else who has no chance to win, no chance to to garner any votes in the metro area, then he's going to win again. Democrats would be way better off, in my opinion, offering up a Steve Simon or somebody else. And, of course, my guy, my friend Dean Phillips, I'd vote for him in a second. He's going to be on here soon. He's been really busy of late. Most likely the next time he's on is early in January in studio for an hour taking calls. We can do some earlier, but he said, how about I come back, because he's not here all the time, and I'll come back and I'll do an hour with you. So, yeah, I'd vote for him in a second. But would he get the nomination from the Democrats? I doubt it. They're too far left. Let's see. Where do we start? I mean, what do you want to say before we get to a lot of texts?
It was staggering before, and it's getting more so.
Yeah.
That's really all it is. The numbers that Thompson was throwing out there are just mind-numbingly stupefying. I mean, he throws out the $18 billion and saying a significant portion of that was fraud, and they're going to figure out just how much.
It is believable because of everything we've heard before, and it's unbelievable, if that somehow makes sense.
All true.
14 programs with significant fraud involving $18 billion. And nobody's saying there'll be no fraud, but at those numbers are over the top. Let's see. Honestly, Wall should be walked out in this second. Not after investigating the waste of money. Not after can't appoint anyone to this. Somebody says, why do I still believe none of this sticks to Walls? And they put the waltz. What is that, like, do people think that's a cheap shot? Waltz?
Little dig?
I guess. plenty is going to stick to him. Let's see. The Democratic coffer is going to take a hit. And to think the National Democratic Party wanted this man to be the VP. Walls should resign if he's been quiet during this term, or start firing some people. Again, has anyone been fired over this? Dave Harrigan. Zero. Zero. Ellison, the Menards thing. You can do both, by the way. You can do the Menards thing, and you can do others. By the way, just go back and podcast our last two interviews with Keith Ellison. If you don't think I asked him repeated questions about this, you're not paying attention, and you could hear how he wasn't thrilled about the questions. Ultimately, this happened to Walls' watch. The fact that he's running again shows he's truly not caring about it and has never apologized. Does he care? I'm not willing to say he doesn't care, but it's so rampant, it's unavoidable to take an enormous amount of responsibility, and there's too many people who've talked about the concern about, wow, if we sanction a number of the smallies involved, we're going to look racist. We feel like they're targeted too much, and so backed off. When individuals are flying in from across the country because they think the taxpayer money is so available, and lack of accountability, what does this tell you when they're sending millions to Kenya? Now, by the way, this doesn't mean every Somali, so get out of here with that. But does it mean that Somalis have been a part of crime after crime after crime? Hell yes. And you're allowed to ask questions about that and ask if there's further coordination and maybe others are involved. That doesn't mean your neighbors and other folks who are innocent and they're a lawyer or a doctor or a baker, they should be thrown out because these other people are criminals. We can handle things specifically and be better than that. But the accountability in this has not been there, and thank God we have people like Andy Luger and Joe Thompson, because Luger, another guy who's on this show all the time, was on this at the start. Joe Thompson, let's see where Dan Rosen is. He's too new. We have no idea what Dan Rosen's going to do. But both these guys, I know, think highly of Dan Rosen. Another enormous story is what's going on at Brown University. We're going to get back to this, too. We're not done with this today. We're getting back to it. The Brown University investigation? And what's going on with the FBI? Our guy, Jimmy Galliano, is moments away on CCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Jimmy Galliano is with the FBI, supervisory agent, important positions all throughout his career. And Jimmy's been coming on the show for years, and we are immensely lucky to have him. He is with us, like all of our guests, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jimmy, you don't know what's unfolding, but the assistant U.S. attorney for the state of Minnesota is talking about more fraud today. And he's talking about these 14 programs where the amount of money spent, $18 billion since 2018, $3.5 billion since 2024. Staggering amounts, unacceptable, indefensible. When you think about the FBI and how they partner and work with U.S. attorneys all across the country, including Minnesota, can you just talk about that a little bit and how that works?
Sure. And Chad, first of all, apologies. You and I should have spoken a couple of days ago on the Brown University shooting. I am in New York City right now, heading back from St. John's University. I had to teach a class down there. Appreciate you taking me
in the car.
No problem. No, I appreciate it. I think we're all stunned and shocked at the level of fraud. But look, you're in the land of 10,000 lakes. I'm in New York City, and I can promise you that the level of fraud, waste, and abuse in U.S. government programs, even at the state and local level. Chad, Minnesota is not an anomaly there. And obviously, the spotlight right now is on your great state, and rightfully so for what happened, and this should be rectified. But yes, a U.S. attorney bringing case against something like this, that is big. Now, it doesn't mean that the FBI is the sole investigative arm for this. I'm sure they used state police.
Yep.
I'm sure they used even some local folks and other federal agencies. But this one was a big one. But trust me, it's not the only one that goes on in this country.
All right, let's get to Brown University. This tragedy unfolded late last week. And Jimmy, as we sit here today on a Thursday, the individual behind the killing of two and the terrorizing of others still hasn't been found. How surprising is that to you?
Well, part of this, I think, Chad, is a glitch in the system that needs to be repaired. This should be handled, as all mass shootings should, as a terror investigation first, and then you work backwards from that. And in this instance, the Providence Police Department wanted to maintain control. I'm not casting shade on them, but it is a small to medium-sized department, less than 500 police officers, and the fact that the FBI or another federal agency doesn't have the lead here, even though they are supporting the investigation, I believe, and this is the world according to me, I believe has led to a complete cascading series of systems failures in the messaging. You're right to say it's been 5 days. Why have we not found this person? Because in the vast amount of school shooters,
they either
die in place because that's what they want to do ideologically, or they are apprehended immediately. And Chad, Brown University is a quarter square mile by a quarter square mile. It's a postage stamp.
Yeah.
It's also it's blanketed by 800 security cameras. How they couldn't have picked this individual up moving into or out of that building and while inside that building, Chad, I don't have all the information as far as the investigation. The cops certainly know more than I do, but this does seem to be an anomaly.
This is Jimmy Galliano. 2 decades of brilliant work with the FBI. We're so lucky to have him on important stories like this. So let me go back to what you said at the start in your last answer about the Providence police and stepping in. Why would they do that? I mean, is this, because I want to talk FBI too, is this their skepticism of the FBI? Is this just a mistake by them? Are we seeing more of this in local police? Or is this just a rare situation where a relatively small police department did what they did?
That's a great question, and I'm going to give you a solid answer on that. The answer there is in this regard, Chad. The state has providence over any murder investigation. Yes, the feds investigate murder violations when they're part of something involving interstate crime, part of a RICO investigation, something like that. In this instance, the state would have had to have asked the FBI to take the lead here. And look, Chad, I can say this as a recovering politician. I served 3 terms,
yeah,
you know, in politics as a mayor in an upstate New York village.
Right.
When the politicians rush to the cameras and every press conference involves them talking and going on and on and on, when they're not passing any actionable information, you see what's kind of guiding this investigation. I'm not throwing shade on the cops, but this should have had a federal investigative lead to it, in my opinion.
Jimmy Galliano with us. Okay, the news on the FBI, which is kind of was the start of Dave and I thinking about having you on, then the Brown University story, then the timing, again, of even more fraud announced in the state. But let's get to the FBI and let's get the news that apparently will be official tomorrow that Dan Bongino, the number 2 man to Cash Patel, who had really no experience in this area, is going to step away. He's not even going to finish 1 year. And you've counseled me many times that in normal operations, the number 2 guy knows that FBI inside and out and is the coordinator, is the person that a lot of times the number 1, whether it's Ray, Patel, the other big names, is the face and is very involved. But the day-to-day operations are by the number 2. If he's out this soon, is it fair to say he just wasn't up for the job?
Yeah, my take on that, and when you and I have spoken about this in the past, I vainly attempted to remain agnostic on the appointment of Mr. Patel and on Mr. Bongino. I think they've done some good things. I think that the FBI desperately needed some reform at the top. But as you just mentioned, I said from the get-go that the director is a political appointee, though he serves for 10 years, so he can outspan any 2-term president. He is a political appointee. The deputy director, for as long as we've been an agency, 117 years, has always been a person from the street that was a brick agent that did the job. Look, I'm not suggesting that Dan didn't have a career before being a podcaster. I'm just suggesting it's difficult to move from the podcast space where you can say anything, you can be a rage baiter, and then move into a position where now people have to believe that you're following the evidence bereft of fear of favor.
Right. How has Patel handled that also? Because he was the same. He was popular because within the MAGA group, that he would say things that resonated, that they believe that may have absolutely been true, but also would lead us down some lines where I think more of us in the middle might say, well, let me see some facts behind it. And he clearly has drawn a lot of scrutiny. I mean, like the other day, he's doing an interview with his girlfriend because he's receiving negative feedback on, you know, what security she's getting and planes she's on. I just thought, the FBI director is doing an interview with his girlfriend? I mean, what exactly is going on here?
Yeah, Chad, and I hate to say that you can draw some parallels here to the Brown University shooting. in the Tyler Robinson case, the individual who shot and killed, Charlie Kirk, the FBI director, in an effort to be transparent. I'm not doubting that he wants to be transparent, but he jumped the gun. And he also jumped the gun in this investigation with saying that we had a person of interest in custody and everything pointed to the fact that he was a suspect. Chad, hear me out. For your listeners, in this business where precision of language is so critical in critical incidents like this, it is better to be late and right than early and wrong. Yeah. And I hate to say it, but did that have something to do with the fact that there wasn't more of a push to have the FBI be the lead investigative unit in the Brown University shooting? That's my speculation, but man, I read the judicial tea leaves, and that's what my sense is in taking away from Cash's reputation and some of the faux pas and stepping on a rake of recent that have occurred with him.
Last thing, and I saw you say this the other day on TV, and I want you to expand on it, about masks and how difficult it is for those folks in law enforcement to try to track down. Then I want you to comment also on the use of masks by ICE. Where are we at with mask and society, according to Jimmy Galeano, with your 25 years of FBI work?
Sure. Two separate things. There's a reason why there are laws on the books that disallow you from walking around in the public with a mask on. It dates back to the terror of the Ku Klux Klan and the facts that to unmask these guys, to pull the hoods off of them, we had to create laws that said you cannot be in public with a mask on. Okay. Having said that, there's also a practicality there. We just came out of a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Right.
At the time, we believed that face masks were going to stop the spread of this. That was not necessarily the case. Now you see groups of teenagers in major cities conducting smash and grabs wearing masks. You see the Brown University person of interest, I'm not going to say suspect, walking around outside the campus with a mask on. There are laws on the books that suggest that in every city and state across this country, you commit a crime with a mask on, there is an attendant charge to that. We need to make that illegal. We need to move past this time where we're allowing people to move around with masks. Full stop. Now, moving on to the ICE piece. I probably come at this a little differently than you do, Chad. ICE has a job to do. We can disagree with what they're doing by removing people that have deportation orders, that have exhausted their claims to stay in this country. They're wearing masks. I was initially discomforted by that. You're a federal agent, you show your face.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, post-2020, we have allowed a surge of violence against law enforcement. We've forced law enforcement to almost be neutered in a sense on how they act. And now what certain segments of our population are doing, they're not going after the agents. They're doxing them and going after their families. For that reason, I take a little different stance on that. I was initially against it. I understand it now. You don't like what ICE is doing? Elect people to Congress and change the laws.
Jimmy, you're the best. Thank you so much. I understand your schedule's busy. We're always better when we have you on. And Merry Christmas, and you know we'll reach out soon.
Sounds good, Chash. Same to you and your crew there. I love your radio show. Keep doing what you're doing.
Jimmy Galeano right here on CCO. I'm going to talk a little water. I'm going to talk about Connecticut. I'm going to talk about, we are reporting exclusively, Dave. Next Wednesday, Christmas Eve.
It's true.
We are also reporting exclusively week from today, Christmas. Nobody else has it.
Mm-mm.
Nobody else has it. Now, we're also reporting exclusively that sometimes families get together. Nobody else has that story, do they?
I haven't heard it anywhere.
I haven't heard it anywhere. So you want to have the best water. You want to work with Aquarius Home Services, earning the right to be recommended since when? 1987. And get their signature. Get their calling card. The Connecticut drinking water system. It is phenomenal. I've had one since 1993. And when I moved,
I made sure I would have one. Have the best water available. Start the day with water or that awful coffee or hot chocolate, whatever you want, and have the best drinking water system. That's not it, though. They'll help you out with your furnace and 5 months from now when you might, let's go, 7 months from now when you need that air conditioner, they'll help you with that. How about the water softener for your dishes, for your laundry, for the shower? Great company, good people. Save up to 25% on the Connecticut drinking water system. Reach out today. AquariusHomeServices.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.